The financial market story this week has several converging themes that we haven't seen lined up quite this way before. Let me start with the bubble discussion, because it's now coming from multiple credible voices simultaneously, which is qualitatively different from the usual single analyst warning that gets dismissed as perma-bear noise. Jeremy Grantham, whose bubble calls have a legitimate track record, having correctly identified the dot-com bubble peak and the 2007 housing bubble, is warning that an AI-led bubble could send stocks down 70% from current levels. Chinese hedge funds separately are warning of an AY super bubble nearing collapse. And Allianz's CIO used the phrase bubble territory in the context of the SpaceX bond losses. Three independent voices, different geographic perspectives, all landing on the same word in the same week.
The Goldman Sachs and Bank of America warnings about crowded positions in tech are the more actionable near-term concern. Crowding in financial markets is a specific technical condition. When too many institutional investors hold the same positions, any single large seller can trigger a cascade because everyone rushes for the same exit simultaneously. Goldman and BofA's quantitative teams track position concentration across hedge funds, mutual funds, and long-only managers. When they're both flagging crowding in the same sector at the same time, their own clients start adjusting, which can itself become the trigger for the sell-off they're warning about.
Goldman strategist is also recommending investors shift from chip stocks to cloud stocks. This connects to the Broadcom MediaTek story we discussed earlier. If chip stocks are overvalued relative to the actual AI CapEx cycle, then the picks and shovels play shifts from hardware to the software and services layer that runs on top of that hardware. Cloud stocks, Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure, Google Cloud, are the infrastructure that monetizes AI without being exposed to the hardware competition risk that Broadcom is now facing.
Speaking of cloud, the billionaire fund manager Convergence on Amazon is a striking piece of market intelligence. David Tepper, Seth Klarman, Bill Ackman, and other major institutional allocators have made Amazon their largest single holding. Their collective thesis, citing undervaluation despite strong AWS growth, is essentially that Amazon's AI infrastructure business is being priced at a discount relative to pure-play cloud competitors, because Amazon's retail and logistics operations obscure the margin profile. AWS is the largest cloud provider by revenue, and its growth rate has been re-accelerating as AI training and inference workloads migrate to cloud infrastructure.
The Microsoft story is genuinely sobering for anyone who uses current stock performance as a proxy for corporate health. Heading for its worst first half performance since the year 2000 doesn't mean Microsoft is failing operationally. The company is deeply embedded in enterprise AI through Copilot integrations, and its Azure growth has been solid. What it reflects is the valuation multiple contraction that happens when a company is priced for perfection and then faces any friction at all. Microsoft traded at elevated multiples throughout 2024 and 2025 on AI enthusiasm. The current correction is the market repricing those expectations towards something more grounded in near-term cash flow realities.
The Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac interest rate risk story is one I want to spend a moment on because it's receiving far less attention than it deserves. Duration gaps at both mortgage giants have widened to roughly 1 year. This is a technical measure of how sensitive their portfolio values are to interest rate changes. The last time duration gaps were at this level was the early 2000s, right before the period that preceded the housing crisis. The proximate cause is a Trump administration directive to buy $200 billion in mortgage-backed securities, which has swelled their portfolios at a moment when interest rates remain elevated. If rates move adversely, and they absolutely could, given the fiscal deficit picture, the losses at Fannie and Freddie could require another government backstop. These two entities are in a conservatorship that was supposed to be temporary since 2008. 18 years later, they're accumulating the same kind of interest rate exposure that made them fragile in the first place.
GameStop's EBITDA projection above $600 million and its push for an eBay acquisition is the most surreal business story of the week and possibly the month. This is the company that became a meme stock in early 2021 when retail traders on Reddit drove its shares up over 1,500%. The fact that GameStop is now projecting positive EBITDA above $600 million and pursuing a strategic acquisition of eBay, a company with a market cap in the tens of billions, tells you that Ryan Cohen's transformation strategy has moved past the meme phase into something operationally substantive. Whether the eBay acquisition makes strategic sense is a separate question, but the fact that GameStop can project that kind of EBITDA means the business is generating real cash flow, not just surviving on equity raises.
The IMF chief economist's comment that globalization is transformed, not dead, is the most important framing for understanding the long-term context of all the tariff stories this week. Pierre-Olivier Gourinchas, pointing to trade-to-GDP ratios remaining solid despite tariffs and geopolitical disruptions, is the empirical counterweight to the narrative that Trump's trade policies are dismantling the global trading system. Trade is still happening. It's just happening along different routes and through different intermediaries. The supply chains are adapting, which doesn't mean the adaptation is costless, but it does mean the doom-scrolling version of deglobalization isn't quite what the data shows.